Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We say that so often, and I say that almost every time I'm up here, Lord. But we really mean that the only way we'll truly see anything and have any benefit is if your spirit would open our hearts and help us to see. And so I pray for all of us, for myself also, that you would help us to sense the greatness of your of who you are, your character, and of the glory of your Son, and that we may walk away and have truly seen and been before the presence of our King. In Christ we pray. Amen. What are the characteristics you most appreciated about people who are really important in your life? Let's say a mentor or a parent. You know what I'm going to eventually get to, but you may have, there may be other characteristics, but one of the things that was I so appreciated about my mom was her patience with me. Although many times, what do parents say to their children? Just be patient. You think that's being patient? This is pretty common. One of my mentors also was very patient with me as a young, growing pastor, leader, person, a young man, and he would just be so patient with me. One of the songs we used to sing with our children was "Be patient, be patient." I'm not going to sing it. Be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. Does anyone know that one to their children? For God is patient too, right? Okay, so it's one of those things that is so hugely important in our world, but sometimes we don't talk about it very often because as soon as we start to talk about it, we realize we don't have patience. One of the things about the Scripture is that we look at the fruit of the Spirit and we think it's the fruit of the Spirit for us to grow in grace, and it is. But what are all the fruit of the Spirit based on? The character of God. So I wanted to, it's one of the things I probably have not spoken on or thought about very often. Because our society is full of impatience. It reigns everywhere. Look at the billboards. Look at our impatience with the internet. You know, if it's my new phone, I can't get it to, you know, like, why is it taking so long? I mean, this thing is worth, like, it's like a whole computer it used to fill up to do with this one thing used to do. But impatience is everywhere. Driving. Don't even talk to people about driving. I don't think anyone in the world, even and children included, can say, you know, I think I've gotten away with almost, I've only got little sins in my life. Well, everyone has impatience. I don't think there's anyone here saying, no, I'm a pretty patient person. Even my mom, even our mentors, these people fail us. But God does not, and God is not in a hurry. And God has a long view plan. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, not just patience for us, and this is the sermon where I do this and say, we're not patient. This is actually stepping back and saying, the patience of God with us, with our world. It's my prayer challenge. I am impatient, and I forget that God isn't. God's plan is still happening in God's timing. There are issues of impatience that affect our relationship in knowing God. Some of them I may mention here. One of them is that God is there to serve me. And that when God doesn't, then I'm impatient with God's timing of things. This is really taking an individualistic starting point. It's over-personalizing. Or if God is aloof, then God doesn't care. And so there's an impatience with God. Or we start with ourselves and we bring in patience to the text. It should speak to me right now. And when I don't understand it, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? I mean, this is a library written over hundreds of years. Read Leviticus. Do you understand it? Yes, I mean, Christ's sacrifice points backwards, right? But I mean, this takes patience. But I often have impatience. People I talk to, my students on campus, the most difficult doctrine that's ever been taught in the world, maybe predestination, maybe not, maybe it's patience, they want to know right now. Well, Dr. Clark, Pastor Clark, right, like, give me the answer now. I can't, That's a question that the sages, the wisest people on earth, have never understood. So we come to so many things with our impatience. Sometimes we're like Jacob. You know, it's like everything is against me. We just become fatalistic because we don't think God is going to act. Look, he's not doing it in my timing. And so, oh, everything's against me. If you were a Lord of the Rings fan, you would know that the Ents in the Lord of the Rings are actually the complete opposite. They don't even have any hurry. There's no hurrying for them. That's just for anyone who likes the Lord of the Rings. Sometimes I do that. I do work with university students. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. Talk to one of the young people here. Or me. I'm almost, how old am I, right? I continue on being kind of one of those nerds. One of the other things that affect our knowing God, which relates to impatience, is we invoke God just when we need God. It's another one. It's like, well, I'm doing fine, but then all of a sudden it's like, well, now I need you, Lord. And I don't have a regular conversation, prayer life. I just wait until the crisis hits. I'm not pointing at anybody, but we all fall into these challenges. So what do we do? Where do we start in the scriptural story? The scripture can provide an antidote to help us through this. We can wade through this library and try to understand it. But in this case, I want to take a 30,000-foot view and just step back and say the whole story is framed with the background virtue of a patient God, capital P. I don't know if I've ever preached on patience except that I have to be patient, or you know, as a call to our own life. But God is patient. I'm not sure if I see this in my systematic theology books either. I have to go look. I know it's there. It's everywhere. Really, it's like the background radiation in the universe. The patience of God is overarching all things, including all his other attributes. Now, try to hold that in your mind for a while. But where do you start with God, the triune God, the Spirit, the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God in his being and holiness and justice and goodness and truth? Where do you start? Well, let's today look at patience that resonates behind the whole story. Let's trace the patience of God in his story today, this morning. First, we see patience in the beginning. Patience in the beginning. Imagine nothing. We can't really imagine nothing, can we? I mean, that's a philosophical conundrum, actually. If you know Jonathan Edwards, he actually had fun with this. Imagine nothing. You can't. But if you could, there was just in the beginning God, the three in one. God, the amazing God, overflowing with power and beauty. And then all of a sudden, with a word, the brilliant world of colors and beauty that begins in an instant, but then is also a process of hundreds of thousands of years. This God creates the world out of nothing, and all of a sudden this beautiful world is everywhere. Like Aslan singing the world into existence, the triune God calls this world into being. Galaxies, stars, plants, animals, people. God lavishes patient love on creation. While God creates out of nothing, notice that God's story mostly works through secondary causes, which require patience and waiting. This is one of the areas in the Westminster Confession that talks about God works through secondary causes. It's a really important thing to study, because our impatience flows from thinking that God is going to intervene at every moment, in every second. And that is, God is mostly working, mainly working, through secondary causes. It's kind of philosophical, but on the other hand, it's scriptural, as we see in the story. Trees grow. Animals, people are born. Life is about waiting. Humans are given all they need, the time to enjoy their Creator. And there it was, pristine and beautiful in the beginning, and yet then loss and corruption and rebellion occurs because of the impatience of our parents. But when humans rebel and become corrupted, God's plan isn't thwarted. He doesn't scrap it. He doesn't throw it away. God has a long plan. And God doesn't immediately end the problem. If God does, then we don't exist. Many often think, why doesn't God do something? All the corruption that is seen. I hear this a lot on with younger people, and I think with maybe we could admit, all of us. Why doesn't God do something? All the corruption, and yet centuries go by, thousands of years. To our reading, the flood might look abrupt, but notice the patience. The flood occurs after hundreds of years. As Mark Jones says, a pastor in our presbytery, God's patience is, as far as sinners are concerned, a highly treasured attribute of God. It was actually a little chapter in his book, a good little helpful book to do in a study, that got me thinking of the patience of God. He does say it's kind of like this thing behind everything. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Thus we resist our inclination to see God as a hasty judge. God is so patient and has been patient from the beginning. And God is so patient with our impatience. So first we see that God is patient in the beginning. Secondly, the story unfolds. We see patience with his promises. Patience with his promises. One thing, if you're a child or a younger person who needs help to stay focused, you might notice how many times I say the word patience. In the other church, I gave away Grace Finder highlighters for this to the children, and then I didn't bring enough. I'm afraid there's a lot of children here. I might bring some later for you. Sorry, that's a caveat in the middle. But you notice patience is everywhere, and it's also part of the promises of God. That's the second thing. So children, if you need to track that way, count the patience. I think there were 70-something. Well, although I've already preached one point. Abraham is promised and blessed the whole world. But God doesn't do it immediately. All the struggles, they wait. When are they going to have children? When are they finally going to have children? And Lord, what are you doing? He's supposed to bless the whole world through this child. All the nations would be blessed, and eventually a Messiah would come. And yet we see this wonderful patriarch couple. Their impatience in trying to make God's promise come true. We often look for how great these Bible people are, the characters. But actually, like one of my pastor friends says, this, that God is loser friendly. That actually we are all broken, including Abraham. And you know what? That in this as well, they try to move God's hands. Now, they don't have the same knowledge we have yet. But even the knowledge they have of God as it unfolds is, you're going to make the God of the world do things? But that was part of maybe some things that they were struggling with, because the pagans around them would do whatever they could to make their gods, to please their gods. And so maybe we can get God to do this, but God makes them wait and wait and wait. But yet the promise does come true. How often haven't we tried to rationalize and think, the Lord must want me to do something right now. And he might. He might. It might be a real impression you need to do something. But usually, like Abraham, the manipulation that sometimes happens next backfires. And yet, it is eventually fulfilled. Here we are, years and years later, and we can look back to the promise to Abraham. The line of the Messiah is patiently building. When all seemed lost in their old age, Isaac, laughter, is born. And the line to Jesus continues as they wait. Centuries go by, but God's promises continue. The patience of God, the plan of God, is different than the way we think. Then there are judges. Then there are kings. Then there are prophets. There's a lot that we have here in Scripture to go through. And God continues to build the promises through David, the shepherd king after God's heart, but also a warlord of his day, in a sense. The shepherd through the wars and through the struggles of the Old Testament and the book of Judges that most of us don't want our children to read. It's just so brutal. But God is working things through human beings, broken vessels, incredible. So two things Patience in the beginning, patience with his promises. Thirdly, and there are five in case. It's not a three-pointer sermon. It's a five-pointer. Like Steph Curry should get five pointers. Sorry. Patience in sending the Messiah. Our ways are truly not God's ways. I have to say this to myself quite a bit. No matter how much you think you know, you have to keep telling yourself, and I keep telling myself, how is Jesus doing things? He walks around in Galilee. He heals, but it takes a long time. There's patience in even before the Messiah comes. Would we have enough patience to allow humans, as God did, to develop as nations, rebelling over and over again from God, and over centuries until finally that time came? There's two Greek words you might know, and if you don't know them, it doesn't matter, and usually you don't have to know, but you know the word chronos? I mean, it's actually a name of some kind of a character, chronos, but it's like time, right? The other one is kairos, which is also time, but time in kairos is the perfect, exact moment when something was supposed to occur, and it has a wider meaning than that, but you know when the Bible says, at the fullness of time, God sent his son, that's kairos. Exactly the right moment for things to occur. And that's what God says happens in sending the Messiah. We look back and think, boy, Lord, what would we have done? But that is what God is doing. This ripe moment, he brings Jesus into the world. My own short-sightedness is in waiting for God's promises. Okay, it's been 3 minutes at this light. Or it's like waiting for a Stanley Cup. Or wanting my dream job now. Like I talk to my students, and I'm not being mean to anyone here. They're 21, and they are like, I put out 20 resumes. It's been a month. Where's my job? This has happened even with my daughter. And I think, okay, well, you might have to do some more work. That's what is in the human heart. Imagine that internet page. Why doesn't it, like, you know how fast we have on internet now? Who remembers the day when you made that weird noise, the dial-up and whatever? Yeah. I mean, it was like, but patience. And yet God, in sending the Messiah, doesn't go, well, okay, we had humans, we've got some people on earth, boom, let's just send Jesus in, get everyone home. He sends this huge picture, and he lets people do really brutal and broken things. It's an interesting, God is much, much more different, much different than we could ever imagine. Well, there's patience in sending the Messiah. Finally, this Messiah comes. And there's patience, fourthly, in Jesus' life and death. Patience in his Jesus' life and death. He has to grow up. After thousands of years, he comes, not fully formed, but he must grow up and in patience wait to fulfill his calling. Think of the patience of Jesus. This is a really interesting exercise. Imagine the patience of Jesus with his fallible parents. He is growing in grace and wisdom, but he's got the patience of God. However that works, there's a deep mystery, so we won't try to claim that. But he's patient with fallible parents, siblings, the neighbors, with religious leaders, with his disciples, with people crowding him, with the sick. If he accesses his knowledge, he can see every flaw in the minute detail. It's like an exposed tooth, the pain and suffering he must have felt. Every moment he's like, oh, he had such awareness. Surely he should in one fell swoop end it all and bypass human agency. Just do it. Galilee, healed. It's not how Jesus does it. He takes one person at a time. He takes a personal touch and he pushes us to walk and live by faith, by trust in a God we cannot see. And even when he's walking among them, they didn't recognize, and eventually they did recognize. What a patient plan, and what a patient Savior. It's like one of my girls saying, why doesn't Jesus just come? Doesn't he have enough people? I chuckle every time I heard that. I kind of get that, though, and I know what she was saying. It is so long to wait sometimes. The end of the Bible does say, come, Lord Jesus, and sometimes you really feel it. Some of us want more of life to happen first, but some of us are saying, boy, I can't wait till the Lord returns. So, so, so difficult for us to wait. There is Jesus in his utmost capacity of perfect humanity, and he waits. He plods. He walks around in the Middle East. It's like a favorite quote. He ruthlessly eliminates hurry. They can't force him to do anything. Call the world to peace in one shout, we say. And he says, no, I'm going to walk around a small area and give you a glimpse of the kingdom. And he gives his life. And he leaves us behind to be change agents. What an interesting, patient God. We finally see patience until Jesus returns, until he returns. Truly, God is patient, puts up with so much corruption. We can hardly take it as years go by. Get those bad guys until we look in the mirror. And we realize if not for his loving kindness, you know that word chesed? You can't say it unless you have a Dutch background. Chesed, covenant faithfulness. God's covenant faithfulness has a plan and he is going to return. And he will make all things new, and he will make all sad things untrue. He will make everything right again. And God can intervene and does. But think of the world the way it would be if God always intervened. Have you done this thought experiment? What if I wanted, this is a really simple example. What if I wanted to go golfing and it was a bad and sinful thing? My wife doesn't want me to, so what does God do in a world where God always intervenes? He knocks the heads off my clubs, or he keeps me from getting out the door, or I can't open the trunk. I heard this years ago and I thought, wow, yeah, that what world, like we know God is completely sovereign and that we are fully responsible. We believe these doctrines of the Reformed faith, but sometimes we act like God should just keep doing it every moment. What if God did? Let's take a more serious example. So he takes out Hitler. But who else rises in Hitler's place? And then, or Mao Zedong. But then you go, okay, just the really bad ones. No. What if he hit all of us? What about every bad thought I had? I had a zap. Right? I find this very helpful. It may be pastorally helpful, I don't know. But the world that I want is so impatient. I want God to do it now. And God has said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. God promises to be with us. If you know my story, which I won't get into, I have a horrendous story in my life of loss. But the Lord goes through you, with you through it. The Lord isn't just stopping all the bad from happening at the same time. This is the problem that they used to call hyper-Calvinism, whatever that means to some of us, right? If you know what that means, that's what... But it's not like just some nebulous theological concept. It's one of the most deadly things you can do because it makes you impatient and it makes you angry at God at every minute. You're walking along going, Lord, you know, get me a parking spot. And then you don't. You're like, well, I guess the Lord didn't want it. I wanted to score a goal and I hit the top post. Right? It's like, I mean, those are simple examples, but what about your child that's hurting? What about illnesses and people dying? And so this is where the other side of our faith, we have to hold true to a God who is more patient with the story than we are. And so I am so thankful because if I looked in the mirror, I could not stand before this God. I understand the anger and the hurt as we see brutality and brokenness, and God does too. He sent his son for us. When someone says, why doesn't God do something? Or when I say it, when would he stop? I say, when does he stop breaking in? We're all broken and fallen. Thankfully, though, he did not stop his son from winning the victory over evil and death. Winning our salvation on the cross, doing the unthinkable. The most unjust act of all time. He did act, and he has acted, and he will return. He's promised he will return. I am banking on it. If he doesn't return, imagine if the Lord didn't return. What would happen? We would just go on in perpetuity. He needs to come and bring us home to a new heavens and new earth, and he will. His promises are sure. So we sing hallelujah, what a Savior. While we ask for patience in a lot of areas, and I'm not going to do a lot of application here, but a few things to take home for you in your mind. We ask for patience in reading Scripture. Scripture is supposed to be a lifelong journey, and when you're 97 like my Oma, you still don't understand it, some parts. She does now. She's with the Lord. Patience with other people. Do you have people that you really get under your skin? They annoy you. Oh, no, you don't. Look at all. You all don't. You're all so saintly. Yeah, no. No, we do. Patience in journeying with others. There's a story of a pastor, and he had shared his faith. Okay, he puts a number on it, 30 times with a woman. And she'd come to church, and she'd heard the gospel. Maybe you're here. Maybe that's happening for you. And she just didn't understand. The good news just did not penetrate. And then one day, she comes in, and he's standing there. And she walks up, and she's coming up. And pastors are sinners, too. He's like, gosh, here she comes again, Lord. I've told her over and over again. Do I have to keep telling her? Like, when is she going to get it? All right, I'll go. And so, Jesus, he died. He rose from the dead. He's your... Why didn't you ever tell me before? That's proof that the Spirit has to show us. But we need that patience with our neighbors, with people around in our neighborhood, the people who keep parking on your like a piece of your grass, the people who don't shovel their driveway, like all the simple things that add up. How about patience with the big questions from young people? Sometimes those who have been through it go, you know what, there's just no answer. Stop asking the question. No, keep asking the questions and be patient as we all have to work through those questions. We all have to work. I have to do this now. Being in on the campus now for almost 15 years, I have to be patient with that. I've heard lots and lots of questions. I know the question is not answerable. I just say, look, it's not answerable. Let's move on. No, we have to work through it and then figure out, yeah, this is so deep, so powerful, so brutal. It's something no one knows. But that's patience in the journey until our students finally get it. And this one is a whole other sermon. I almost preached this sermon here, but it would be really mean to preach it first, since I've been back in a while. To love our enemies, patience with our enemies, and maybe you don't have enemies, but people who really, really, maybe your boss is your enemy. Maybe someone you think is doctrinally wrong is your enemy. Maybe you are against UCP. Maybe you're against NDP. Maybe you're against the Green Party. Maybe whatever makes you angry. That was a whole sermon itself. But patience with our enemies. So we pray that God would give us that. And lastly, finally, I would pray that this congregation, you all, God's people, I get the privilege to speak to people. I don't know you, but good news is good news, that you would fight the good fight of faith. That you would endure to the end. Those who endure to the end will be saved. You are saved in the moment, but we endure, and we need the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ to go with us. This is his word to us. Let's pray. Amen. This congregation has many needs, Lord. I see I missed the pastoral prayer. So I say now, for these people, O Lord, may every person here see you as their Father, as the great God, that they would know that you're in heaven, that you're the King, that your kingdom is coming, that you're the true Lord of all, that it's your will to be done on earth, as it is in heaven. And that we would have patience to wait for your will on earth as it is in heaven. We'll pray later more specifically, Lord, for other needs, and already needs have been mentioned. But for people here who are struggling with the gospel, struggling with hard questions, struggling with their neighbor, struggling with enemies, Lord, help us to forgive as you have forgiven us, as we would forgive our debtors, O Lord. Give us the long view of our lives. We could be gone in a moment, but we also could live to many, many years. And so give us the patience to see. Be with the pastor here as well, the elders, the leaders, the deacons. Every person is a leader here in another way. We all lead our families. We lead our world. Some of us are involved in various kinds of work that need prayer all the time in business, architecture, engineering. Lord, I pray for every person here, for the farmers, for the fires that are occurring so much in Alberta. I just pray that you would be with us. May your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. May it all be for your glory. Deliver us from the evil one, Lord. So much evil in the world, so many challenges, so many difficulties. Help us not to blame the enemy all the time for everything. It may be us involved and being tempted, but at the same time, not to deny that there is an enemy to the world that really is trying to hurt people. At the university campuses, Lord, thank you for this congregation, their prayers and their support. Thank you, because university students feel a lot of pressure. They feel anxiety. They feel stressed. And we might think, how could they be stressed? They have everything given to them. No, they actually have so many challenges. It's hard to find work. Some of them need to get a master's just to get a job. Lord, be with our university students. Thank you that we can partner with them all across Alberta. Be with our political leaders, our governments, those that we don't appreciate, those that we are in power, we're told to pray for them even if we don't like what they're doing. Lord, help them, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give wisdom beyond years. And so we give all these things to you because you are the Lord who hears our prayers. You are so patient, and you will respond in your timing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.